how many of you are in this class for the first time today? The Angels and Demons class. Hold up your hands. Let me just get an estimation. First time, okay. And the rest of you have been to the classes. Have you left with more questions or have you been getting some things answered? How's it been going? Okay, you can talk to me. Have you learned something about angels? At least about Lucifer, about Satan? Okay, we've got multiple people handing out. Okay, there are two handouts. The one with the prayer, we're not handing that out. But that's not the most important handout. It's just this two-sided one that says notes on the back. Okay, let me just qualify this or clarify. The handout that I give you is for you to take notes on. I cannot, it's like 10 pages of a handout if I have to give a handout of the whole class of all the information, okay? So those are just outlines and a bit of information there, but you can just make notes and this session is recorded. If you want to listen to it again, you're welcome to get the CD. Go online and it's free online. You can also share online, you know that. We have archives of all the girlfriend messages online and it's free. You can share it on Facebook or send links. It's free, free, free. Okay, we have some more people here with handouts. And then everybody grab a seat so we can get started. Thank you so much. Okay, I'm so concerned about you. My notes are not ready. So let me just get my scriptures. I've got like pages and pages of scriptures. As I told you before, we are doing a lot of scriptures. This is a Bible study. So we do more scriptures than you would usually find in a regular message. I try to, most everything I say, to qualify that with scripture. So the whole message is really scripture. So you can challenge everything I say with scripture. I don't remember all the scripture placements too many, but we stick to the Word of God. Listen, spiritually speaking, as far as the spiritual world, there is so much going on around us. Movies. I mean, have you seen the movies lately? The vampires, werewolves, and Twilight, and just the biggest lot of junk being fed to us who would eat. And to our children and to society, people are hungry for the spiritual. But we need to be able to discern what is right and what is not. What is of God and what is not. So it's very important for us to study these things. And especially today, as we're going to go into darkness, we're going to study what the Bible says about darkness and about demon activity. Spirit world is very real. Spirit world is light and there's darkness. Anything spiritually that happens to you, it's either of God or it is not of God. But in the middle there, somewhere, there's you. And there's your flesh. There's your will. So this is not a cop-out for everybody that say, you know, I've just too many demons against me, or this is another demon. Do not use this information in this study just to find demons in everybody, on everybody, behind every door, and just blame everything on the devil. The devil has no authority in your life. If you're a believer, if you have the blood of Jesus, he only has the authority that you give him. But when it comes to the blood of Jesus, he has no authority in your life. But you have to still get your act together. Because your flesh is connected to this world, and Satan is the prince of the power of the air of the systems of this world. So the more connected you are to the fleshly things and the things of your senses, what I see, what I feel, what I hear, the more connected you are to those things, the weaker you are spiritually. So we as believers have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have to study the Word, stay close to God, know the work of God, and take ownership, in a way, of your spiritual well-being. Okay? So with that being said, let's pray. We really need God today. We need Him every day, but especially today, because there's so much information. We do not want to give the demonic and Satan more prominence than what is needed, but we need to study. Is this a little dark for you guys? It went a little dark. Oh, you like it dark? It's just like, why did all the lights just go down? Hopefully everybody's taking notes. So we just really need God to help us today to go through what we need to cover. And let's pray. Father, we just come to you in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your authority in our lives. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this women's ministry, for this youth auditorium, for this meeting, for all the dear, amazing women sitting here today. We do not take it lightly, God, and we acknowledge we are gathered by you. We are gathered by your Holy Spirit. There's nothing a man or a woman can say that can make any difference in the world, but everything is different when you walk into the room, Lord Jesus. So thank you, Jesus, that you hear. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher in this house, that you counsel us, you guide us, you lead us, you teach us. So we look to you, God, to help us this day. Help me, Lord, to just say what it is that you want me to say. Help everybody to hear. Help us all to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church and your girls this morning. We give you, God, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, and we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. To yours is the power, the glory forever, and no weapon formed against us in this place shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this is week 4 on the study on angels and demons. We spent 2 weeks studying angels. And 1 week, last week, we looked at the origin of Lucifer and Satan and his activity and how he operates and how he functions. Let me just establish again, for those of you who are not here, I say this every time, you have to understand that the spiritual is much more important, it's much more real, it's much more powerful than the physical. What we see is physical. We live in the physical, we talk physically, we attach, our bodies are not redeemed yet. This is why you can be saved and not totally set free, because your body, your senses, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and then your senses are very attached to this earth and the sin of this earth. Satan has power over the earth. He's been given authority. The earth and its fullness belongs to God. Nothing belongs to Satan. But authority to be loosed and to be active and to be activated, it has been given to Satan when Adam and Eve sinned. Okay? So our bodies have been, and our souls and our whole being has been separated from God. When we get born again, what is being born again? Not your body. Wouldn't that be nice? You accept Jesus Christ and you turn 16 again. No. Your body is not born again. Your body will be born again, in a sense, not born again, but restored when you die, like Jesus did. And you get a glorified body. But when you are born again, what is happening? It is your spirit that connects with the Spirit of God and testify that you are a child of God, okay? So spiritually, you get born again. It's like the Bible says, when Nicodemus says, what does that mean? And the Bible says, well, the wind comes and the wind goes and you don't know where it comes from. It's in the invisible, but it is on a spiritual level that we connect to God. Okay? So when you come across any theology or religion that says to you, you connect through your psyche, you connect through thinking, you connect through anything else than spiritual, it's not of God, because God is a spirit and my spirit connects with God's spirit. My spirit died when Adam and Eve sinned. It's dormant in my body and it's susceptible to every evil thing. But when I get born again, it is my spirit that rises up and comes to life and now connects with the Spirit of God, and I'm born again and I'm on my way to heaven. But you still have a soulish realm. That's where the thinking goes. That's where your emotions are. That's where your will is. All of that is a process of being redeemed, because what we're going to talk about today in the demonic realm, in the spiritual realm, in the spirit of darkness, in the demonic realm, that's the playground of demons. It's the soulish realm of men. Someone once says your mind is like a landing strip for demons. It is, the battle is in your mind. When you start thinking things, Satan can even put things in your mind. He cannot read what you're thinking, but he can put thoughts in your mind, and we'll see that today. But that is your soulish realm. And your emotions? Seriously? Anybody got redeemed emotions? Those emotions. Mine gets redeemed one day, and the next day they stand up again. It's like your emotions just have to be submitted the whole time to Jesus Christ. Not just one time. This thing, it just wouldn't, you know, go away until we see Jesus. And your will has to be submitted to God on a daily basis. And your mind, the Bible says, has to be renewed by the Word of God. Renewed, it never stops. That's why you need to feed your mind with God. Feed your mind with God. Feed your mind with the Word of God. Because if you don't, Satan is going to get to you. So as I said last week, I think I said, you will be a believer on your way to heaven and miserable the whole time. Because you can be defeated. You can be oppressed. You can have a lot of things going on in your life if you do not take care of the soulish realm of you and on the physical realm. How in control are you physically? You hear the word exercise, it's like a curse, right? It's like cussing. I mean, I fight that every day. It's like, why does that just not feel good? It feels good to like 1% of the population, I think. But I don't know. I'm joking. But you know, your body wants stuff. Your body, it likes to hear certain things. It likes to see certain things. It likes to smell certain things. Your body is not redeemed. It is just what you feed it, where it's going to go. So when you feed your mind, you feed your soul level, you restrict your body. You tell your body no. Your body has to hurt. Your body has to be punished in order to get under submission, because your body will take you straight to destruction when you provide your body with everything your body wants. Okay? So, we're talking about the spiritual level, and then we said angels. So, the spiritual level is where things happen first. God is a spirit. The spirit created the physical. So, what is, nothing has changed. What we experience in the physical is a manifestation of what happens in the spiritual. Yes? Do you get that? Whatever we see happen in the physical is a manifestation of the spiritual. Weapons are being formed against you that you don't know of yet. And if you're not going to go fight in the spirit and prayer and fasting or fighting in the spiritual realm, everything the devil has for you is just going to come your way, because it is planned already in the spiritual where you cannot see it. And it's much more important, as well as what God has paid for you on the cross, is also in the spiritual. How do you get what God has paid for in the spiritual for you into the physical? Through faith. Faith moves goods and services from the invisible to the visible as far as God's promises. Faith, without faith, you cannot please God. What moves demonic things that are being planned for your life out of the spiritual into the physical? Fear. Sin. Giving room to Satan moves those things that are planned for you in the spirit into the physical. That is why the Bible says, be vigilant. Pray without ceasing. Do not forsake the assembly together. Pray always. You have to live in the spiritual realm if you want the blessings of God in your life, even though you are saved. Okay, so we talked about angels being created. What you need to remember about angels, God created them. They are good. They are not at our disposal. They are at God's disposal. They are God's messengers to whatever God wants to do. God uses them sometimes for good, sometimes for evil, for his purposes. But angels are God's messengers. We saw all the scriptures in the Bible of how angels appear to people. We do not call on our angels. We do not talk to angels. We do not name the angels. We do not ask angels. We ask God, Father, give your angels charge over me, like the scripture says. But you don't say, angel so-and-so, please help me. That is not nothing, anything that represents anything but Jesus Christ, or even just represent Jesus Christ, is not Jesus. Okay? No sign, no the cross. You can wear a cross around your neck and act like the devil all day long. Okay? It is until you have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, transforming your life, that is when victory comes, okay? So angels are spiritual beings. They created good. They're mighty. They're strong. They fight. Some of them fight. They have different levels, different hierarchies. God creates everything in order. There are different dominions, and there are different authorities. There are different powers in the spiritual area of God. We see Lucifer was just the main worship of the main angel in heaven until he fell. Okay, so there's structure. So when Satan fell with his demons, structure still remains. You get demons of different levels. Okay, let me just mention a lot of people, we're going to go to the scripture that says 1/3 of demons fell with Satan. You know that theology, right? In Revelation, where it says the serpent and his tail just slapped out 1/3 of angels with him. Hey, 2/3 remained. Are you happy about that? I don't like the third that went bad and dark with Satan, because they're going around seeking after blood, you know, killing people. Just ultimately what they want. But remember, 2/3 remained. Remember, God is much stronger. The hosts of heaven are much stronger than evil. The blood of Jesus has overcome everything. So that for angels, do not talk to them, do not pray for them. God sends angels on assignment. They are ministering spirits. Angels do not guide you, guys. Who guides you? The Holy Spirit. Do not get confused with the activity of angels and their purpose and the Holy Spirit. Totally different. Angels, it's God's business. If you see an angel, it's because God revealed it to you. We have scripture for that, okay? You do not call upon them, but call upon the name of the Lord. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit that leads you and that guides you. So some of us have a lot of preconceived ideas, a lot of things out of our cultures, a lot of things about religions that we want to bring objects and signs and things in. You don't need anything. Jesus is your way to God. You don't need a pastor in there. Yeah, us pastors, we have to equip you. But to get to God, you don't need anybody. You don't need a priest. You don't need anything. When you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have access to the presence of God, period. Okay? Then we talked about Lucifer. We said some things about him last week. So today we're going to get to demonology. Okay, we talk about demons today. In stark contrast to the company of holy angels, the fallen angels are also innumerable and are described as fallen from their first estate. So demons were not created demons. Demons fell from their holy state, their perfect state. Okay? There was no evil until there was good. Good was first, and good turned evil, or Satan, Lucifer, turned good into evil when he exercised his God-given will to go against God and wanting to be like God. But as I said, 1/3 fell, 2/3 stay behind with God. God is much more powerful. Led by Satan, who was originally a holy angel, the angels defected, rebelled against God, became sinful in every area. Fallen angels have been divided into two classes. We see in scripture, there are fallen angels that are bound. Bible talks about some angels that are bound for destruction. And of course, some demons are totally free. So those are two kinds. We will get some scriptures and on that in a little bit. Now remember, let me just qualify again. When we talk about the spiritual like that, even the origin of demons, guys, there is no concrete evidence of a specific and only way as far as how demons originated and exactly who they are. There are a lot that we do know. We're going to talk about what we do know. But there are a lot of different ways to interpret. I told you it is like God, when we study the spiritual, demons and angels, it's like God comes and he just lifts the veil and just give you a peek in there. You know, we just get a peek through the scriptures. Why? Is God trying to hide? No, I just think we couldn't stand it if we see it all. You know, we are just not, flesh and blood is just not capable of absorbing that. So when all this, you may find different ways of looking at things, but we're not going to fight over disputable matters. I'm just going to show you what the scripture says. Of all the fallen angels, Satan alone is given particular mention in the Bible. I told you last week, after God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Satan is the most talked about individual in Scripture. And he's not a figment of the imagination. He's not just an idea. Ideas do not go to heaven. You know, something in your imagination doesn't get cast into the pigs and they kill themselves. Satan is a created being, very real and very alive. When Satan fell, he drew after him, you know, 1/3 of the angels. As we see, we cannot go to all these Scriptures. Oh my God, just help us to which Scriptures we should go by. Yes, so some of them are in chains. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Let me see if I have these Scriptures here. 2 Peter 2 verse 4 says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." It's a different context, but this is a true statement here that shows us, one of the Scriptures that shows us, there's a company of angels who sinned and are bound up currently. A lot of people believe it is what is also talked about in Jude, verse 6. It says, "And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Now, in Genesis, we read, this is the theory. Some people put this together. In Genesis, we read that the sons of God, which are always referred to as angels, the sons of God came and visited the daughters of men, produced offspring, and that those angels that left their domain is what Jude talks about, and God, it was happening, and that is part of the reason, if you read the story of the flood, it just kind of goes in with that, God allowed the flood to destroy all of that, and Noah was the only one. But before the flood, we know of a race, or referred to sometimes as Nephilim, which means giants, which some people believe are the offspring of these angels that had some kind of assignments, could manifest in the physical, and now went in with the daughters of the earth and produced. I have a lot of very, very versed theologians that believe that that is what actually happened. And when the flood, when this race was eradicated in the flood, now you deal with spirits that were in this race that now no longer have bodies. So some people believe that demons are disembodied spirits of the giant race or of a pre-Genesis race that existed at some point. So can you see there's a lot of theories, and I want to just let you know about it, so if you hear about it, you don't hear about it for the first time. But it's all disputable. But we have these Scriptures. It says that these angels, there's a group of angels that left their domain, whether they were the one that came in with the women or not, they left their domain and they actually bound. But then we know we have demonic activity all through the Bible into the New Testament, right after Jesus ascended to heaven. Demons are loose. Lucifer is loose. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the prince of this world, of the social system. So he's not bound yet. So there's a group of angels bound. There's a group of angels not. But that is the background, what some people believe, where they come from. Okay, what we need to know is they are Satan's servants and all undertaking and his undertakings, and they share the doom of Satan. They absolutely share the doom of Satan. Matthew 25 verse 41, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for' who? The devil," that's Satan, "and his angels." Okay? And Revelation 20:10 says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire." It's past tense here, but he's prophetically speaking. Satan is still very loose. "Fire of brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." That is the doom of Satan with all his angels. Okay? Then, remember, for those of you who were not here last week, if you want to look up the fall of Lucifer, I'm just going to refer to it. Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 talks about the fall of Lucifer. And in Luke 10 verse 18, I don't think we have it in our notes. Luke 10 verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. Okay, so he fell. And now we are dealing with demons who are also dark angels and followers and submitted to Satan himself. Evil angels, they are fallen spirits that rebelled with Satan and are now under his lordship. Okay? It's very comforting to know, let me just put it in there, that God is more mighty and he has more angels and there's no match for God and for Jesus. It's very important, though, to realize the reality of the presence of demons, especially in the area of spiritual warfare, because there's a very huge host of darkness and activity and spirits going on all around us. Why do we study this? We don't study this to know. See, then we go to the mind, the psyche level again. Remember I talk about the mind is the soul? When you study the scripture to know the scripture, the Bible says the letter kills. The spirit makes alive. It is not about knowing everything, figuring everything out. If anybody tells you that, it's not God because, you know, it's like Gnosticism. It's not about who knows the most. It is not about knowing. This is for us to know that who our enemy is and how it manifests in the area of spiritual warfare. Okay? Because spiritual warfare is very real. Satan is out for your soul. He wants to kill you, destroy you, steal from you, cause destruction in your life and the life of your family. That is why, you know, when I say this, I just sense a presence of God like crazy. That is why we have a conference called Awaken. It is time that we wake up from our sleep and wake up to the enemy that is standing at the door of your life. He's coming in through your soul and through your body and through sin. He's coming in to torment you, to steal from you. He cannot possess you because you have the Spirit of God in you. He cannot take over your body, but he can make you miserable through oppression, through battles of the mind. And we need to wake up because nobody can take your spiritual territory. I can pray for you. I can fast with you. I can agree with you. But ladies, I cannot take what God has paid for you to have. You are the only one who can take that which God has for your life. And how beautiful your enemy would be and so happy if you can just slumber a little longer, if you can just sleep a little longer, if you just a little longer believe, well, this cannot be real. The God is a God of love. You are deceived and you are being robbed blind. If I tell you now, if I come here, Sandy, and I say to you, Sandy, somebody just called and said there are three burglars busy breaking into your house right now. What are you going to stay seated here? No, what would you do? You take action. You would take action right away. And you would figure out a way to get to your property and to make sure you are not being robbed and not being stolen. Newsflash. You have an enemy. He's walking around like a roaring lion, looking who he can devour. He goes for the weak link. He goes for the kids or for the sick or for the brokenhearted or the, you know, he goes after you and your kids. And this is our wake-up call. Awaken, everybody. Awaken to your enemy and go tell him. This judge will tell you when this judge sits on her high seat and she brings that gavel down and makes a decision. Nobody can come against that. That is the way it is. That is the way it is. So somebody has to enforce that in your life. You're the one. You have to use your mouth, use the word of God, get out there and take ground what God has paid for you. You need to get in the spiritual and war in the spiritual. How do you do that? Through prayer, through the word of God. And listen, if you don't see any results, stop eating your food. fast. You don't believe fasting can cause spiritual results? Just try fasting and see how easy it is. How many of you have tried staying without food? That is a good indication of how strong your flesh is. Let me challenge you. This is for somebody. I don't know where we're going today. But this is for somebody. If you stay without food in your body, if you say, I'm not going to eat for the rest of the day. I had breakfast. I'm going to eat tomorrow morning again at breakfast. You see how the rest of your day goes. And as loud as your body will be talking to you, that is the indication of how strong or how weak your body is. And somehow, all disciplines and habits transcends the areas in your life. From the physical, that's why fasting is physically staying without food. But it is a discipline that if you do that, you gain spiritual authority. It's just an amazing thing. So I don't know where that came from, but that must have been for somebody here. We have to wake up. If you knew you had $1 million in an account in the bank, you'd be very happy about it, but you won't have it until you go get it. So, go get what God has for you. Because Satan is real, he's cunning, he's slimy like a snake. He's observed mankind for eons of time. He doesn't have to be able to read your mind. He can't read your mind. He can just watch your face. Your body language, you think Satan doesn't read your body language? You can say, I'm not going to say any evil, but I act like the devil, you know, just my body language. And sometimes you say stuff. Listen, the devil doesn't have to look for far. He can just hang around you and he knows everything what's in your mind because you speak it all. All the bad stuff. It's dangerous. You've got a real enemy. The existence of demons are clearly stated in the Bible. They are in contrast with God's angels as far as God's will is concerned. They left their first estate, as we just read. They cast into hell, as we just read. They are agents of God's judgment upon evil people. What did I do with my scripture? Can't have my word on the floor. Psalm 78, verse 49, he cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destructions among them. Even angels of destructions are at God's command. Satan can do nothing without God's permission. And you say, why does God give permission to Satan to destroy? Study it in the scripture. That's a whole lesson in itself. For God's purposes to come out of it. Okay, in service of Satan, they are in service of Satan and hell is prepared for them. There's a war in heaven, in Revelation and in Daniel, we've talked about it. It's very clear in scripture that demons are very real. The world wants to tell you they are not bad, they won't hurt you. The way the world does that, ladies, is they make movies for entertainment. And you go see the movies on the witches and the vampires and the whatever creatures they call them. They're not the living, but I read up about them and they are referred to as not the living or the dead, but the undead. I mean, how perverted is that? Okay? So if you don't want to admit that Satan is real and demons are real, it's after your soul. Make movies, show it to kids on cartoons, you know, from they are young. Just get yourself a little calloused and just believe it's all good. It's all good. It's not all good. People are going to hell on a daily basis because of the deception of these things. They are evil fallen angels. Some believe them to be different. Some believe there's a difference between disembodied spirits and evil spirits and demons and all that. For our purposes in study, we are going to go from the point of view that they are followers and in the sway of Satan with destruction as their purpose. Going against all God's purposes. They may not indwell you, but they may resist you. Right? They cannot indwell you, but they can torment you. They can resist you. They can get in your way. They can move things around for you to get mad and upset. There's a lot of power demons have besides from indwelling you. Yes, demons look for bodies to actually indwell, to manifest. But when you are saved, you cannot be indwelled by demons. You can be oppressed. You can be demonized. You can be tormented through other things, through your body and your soul that's not redeemed. But you cannot be demon-possessed when you are saved. Okay, Jesus and demons, I've got the scriptures for you, I think, in your notes on Jesus and demons, what Jesus talks about. I wish we could read them all. Matthew 12:27. Can we find that scripture? Do you have it there? Matthew 12:27. 28. When he had come out on the other side to the country of Gergesenes. Can anybody say that word? There met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass their way. Okay? Jesus referred to them as Beelzebub and casting out demons. In Matthew 10, we see, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Mark 16. Let me see if we have Mark 16. Do we have Mark 16 up there? Mark 16 talks about, and these signs shall follow you, and one of them is casting out demons. We have been given the authority to cast out demons. And then Paul talks about demons. Paul talks about demons in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. Let's read that. What am I saying then, he says, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Boy, we can preach that. Fellowship, you can be a believer and you can have fellowship with demons. Not possessed, but stay away from all the junk the world wants to feed you. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Some people do that. They want a little bit of everything. You can't. Any influence, just a little bit of dog poop in your brownies. Why do you think you can get away with a little bit of demon, involvement in your life? No, you cannot do both. Then 1 Timothy 4, I had my scriptures so in order here. But 1 Timothy 4 talks about the doctrine of demons. And it talks about, the Bible talks about the doctrine of demons, which takes people away from God. So this demonic activity presence that want to sway you, but also are on assignment to turn you away from God. Did you know that? It's not just someday you decide you don't want to come to church anymore. They could be an assignment against you. And you have to push through these things to stay with God. Okay? The origin of demons, I told you God created them. There are these two camps of believing. Some of them are bound, some of them are not bound. And let's look at the three theories. I mentioned some. Let's just encapsulate the three theories of how did these demons fall. First of all, some people believe demons are disembodied spirits, spirits of inhabitants of pre-Adamic earth. Pre-Adam, there was life, some people believe, because pre-Adam is when Lucifer fell. Okay? I told you the gap theory last week, somewhere in between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, something happened, God creates something perfect, and verse 2 says there was darkness and disorder. Something happened in between. A lot of people believe that's where Lucifer fell, and there was a pre-Genesis 2, 1 verse 2, that we do not know of. There's much more to life and world and God and everything than what we can ever know. We have to go with what we know and deal with that perfectly. So some people believe that. Then some people believe demons are the offspring of angels and women. Like I told you, in Genesis it says that some of these angels came with the women, had offspring, and those were the giants. And some people believe they are fallen angels. Do not get wrapped up with what is the right way, because this scripture could confuse you totally. Just know that there are demons that are loosed on assignment against you, and they under the sway of Matthew 12 called Satan Beelzebub. It's another word for Satan, the prince of demons. So he's very much still the prince over the demons. And Matthew 25 talks about the devil and his angels, and Revelation 12 talks about the dragon and his angels. Okay? That's what we need to remember and apply it as to spiritual warfare in our lives. The nature of demons, they are spiritual beings and bodiless. They desire to indwell living beings, humans first, and then animals, as we see in Scripture. They are stronger than men, but no match to Jesus Christ. Okay? They know who Jesus is. In Matthew 8:29, the Bible says, and suddenly they cried out, these demons inside of people, what have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? You have come here to torment us before the time. These were demons crying out with the mouths out of the bodies of demon-possessed people. Actually, the demon inside of this person cried out and acknowledged Jesus. So they are very well aware who Jesus is. James 2:19 says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Okay, so demons are very much aware of Jesus. How about their strength? Mark 5, verse 2. Let me see if I can find my spot anywhere here in my... I think I may have the wrong printout. I think I printed out the overhead scriptures. I had a whole slew of other scriptures that I wanted to read. But, okay, Mark 5, verse 2 to 4. Matthew, Mark 5. Let's go to Mark 5. Mark 5, verse 2 to 4 says, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Here we see a lot of things. We see when Jesus came out of the boat, these spirits, these people came up to him, and they came from a tomb. They hang with the dead, okay? Unclean spirit, they dwell among the tombs. He was very strong. Not even chains could hold them, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Very strong. These demons are very powerful and very strong. When they possess people, it throws people in the fire. You may have heard stories of people being thrown around by all kinds of demons when demons possess you. Are they wise? Let's see. I told you they've observed humankind for a long, long time, so they know stuff. They're not omniscient. They're far stronger than man. They know about God, and they know about the eternal doom. The Bible tells us over and over that they know things. Demons know things. They're not all wise, but they are wise. They know their authority. They know what they allowed and what they are not allowed. They will always, you know, push the borders, but they have a wisdom of knowing things. How about their character? They are wicked, unclean, and vicious. As angels can ascend the heights of spirituality, demons reach the depth of hatred, lust, bitterness, perversion, and wickedness. Matthew 8. We read in Matthew 8. Let's go to Matthew 8 quickly. Verse 28 says, when he, Jesus, had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, they met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce. Okay? exceedingly fierce in Matthew 10, verse 1. Let's just go to 10, verse 1, which tells us they are unclean. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now, nowhere in Scripture do we see demons being cast out of believers. I need for you to get this, okay? Demon possession is for those who do not have Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ in their lives. You can look in the New Testament. Demons possess the unsaved, not the believers and the followers of Jesus Christ. But God, Jesus, gave his disciples and us authority to cast out evil spirits. Okay, and then Matthew 12, we have to go there. Matthew 12, verse 43, listen to this. And when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and find none. We said that these unclean spirits or demons look for hosts to embody, to manifest. But it has to be willing hosts, okay? And the Bible says they actually can be inside of you, or not you, people. They can go out of a man, this verse says, goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Guess what happens next? Then he says, this demon, unclean spirit, quote, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put into order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, not equal to him, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. What the Bible teaches us is not to play around with demons if you do not have the blood of Jesus. You can walk up to people and you're not led by the Holy Spirit. You can drive out demons. You can command demons to go. But listen, guys, if that host who had the demon is not ready to accept Jesus Christ, that person is not safe, because that scripture just told us he will come back and found the house or the host clean, sweeped out, nice and all put together. So you can be all put together. You can let go of your wicked ways, addictions, and sin. That's not good enough if Jesus doesn't come in and inhabit you completely and totally. Because this thief, when he comes back and he sees the house is nice and clean, he says, oh, opportunity. He goes, he gets seven that's more wicked and said, man, I found us a clean spot to crash. But if he comes back, so being clean, so having your behavior altered does not make you resistant to demons. You can behavior modification, and I'm going to be good, and I'm going to, you know, turn a new page, and I'm going to try harder. Go ahead, clean yourself up. But if there was, you know, talking about demons, they come back if they were in somebody or had any kind of authority in some or other area. You command them, even, I want to go as far as saying, even if it's a form of oppression. Because obsession and oppression many times go on for a long time. It's like a cycle. It's like a cycle. It goes and it comes back. It goes and it comes back. The thing that breaks the cycle is the blood of Jesus. And only the blood of Jesus. When that spirit comes back and he wants to tempt you and oppress you, we sometimes refer to familiar spirits. It once had power. It once had some authority in your life. It will come back and try to come back in. When you are nice and clean and swept out, not only will he come back or that demon come back, but it will go find seven more wicked. So what are we to do? We are to give God and Jesus Christ all our heart,
all our life, every area of your life, because the part of your life that is not submitted to God is entry point for Satan. That is why, not possession, but oppression. That is why the Bible says in Revelation, were you just hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm. A lukewarm state is repulsive to God. Doesn't that remind you of the scripture? A lukewarm state actually makes you even more susceptible to demonic activity. Have you ever known somebody who was bad, they tried to get better, and they got even worse? Because they were going to do it themselves? Listen, if God is not in there through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no remedy. We can fix things up. It's like, I have grandkids, two grandkids. Oh, man, God bless all of you mommies. I like a clean house. How is it? I literally turn my back, walk out of the kitchen, and I come back. The kitchen was clean, and I'm like, who was here? Who made this mess? Person is dead and gone. Nobody. I don't know who it was, you know. Toys everywhere. And I love my kids and grandkids. I pack it up. I put it all in the corner in the basket. And I come back. And just a minute later, it's just like, seriously? It's all over the place again. It's frustrating, isn't it? That is how it goes if we try to fix ourselves without the blood of Jesus. You know, fix yourself for a day. But if the blood of Jesus doesn't come in, if that area of your life is not totally, totally, totally submitted to God in every way, you are susceptible for more, you know, darkness to come back in. Their purpose, I told you, Satan wants to be like God. He wants to be worshipped. He even offered Christ the kingdoms of the earth if Christ would worship him in the desert, remember, when he was tempted, because these kingdoms of the world, I talked about it last week, belongs to him. So their purpose is to hinder God's purposes. Their activity, listen to this, is opposing the saints. Opposing. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and multiple scriptures we have that says who our enemies are. It's there to oppose you. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18, the writer says, Satan hindered us. We wanted to do something Satan hindered us. Inducing departure from the earth. Yes. From the faith in 1 Timothy 4 verse 1 talks about people giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons that will lead them away from the faith. That is their activities. They lie and deceive. They encourage formalism and strictness as a result of false teaching. Jesus brings freedom. Satan brings bondage. The word kills. The spirit makes alive. It's all about the heart. Do you know all idol worship is backed by Satan? Satan wants to be worshipped. It causes physical afflictions. Here are the scriptures. In the Bible, it says the powers of demons can cause dumbness in Matthew 9, blindness in Matthew 12, insanity in Luke 8, suicidal mania in Mark 9, personal injuries in Mark 9, various defects and deformities in Luke 13. We also see that demons are used for God's purposes. We read this scripture about the angels of destruction. And in the Bible, it actually says that God put a lying spirit in somebody, allowed a lying spirit to go for his purposes. Okay, let's see. So what do we do? We need to know that believers cannot be demon-possessed. Okay? Possessed means you are controlled on a spiritual level. I told you, your spirit is born again. If your spirit is not born again, you can be possessed by a spirit, a demon that's looking for a host, because your spirit belongs to nobody. But once your demon possession is on a spiritual level. But once your spirit is born again, you cannot be possessed, okay? But you can be oppressed, demonized, or obsessed. What do we do? We're going to get to that in a minute. What when somebody is demon-possessed? What does the Bible say? Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. This is Jesus. Mark 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. Listen, the name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I don't know if I put that little piece in your notes about exorcism. It's commanding a demon to come out. Don't mess around with this. If you have somebody, just talk to a spiritual person. If you have insecurity about anything, don't go home. Lay your hands on your husband and, you know, just command the Satan to leave him. Yeah, it's been done before. You have to be very careful to go around and just start talking to demons. You have to know who you are, not have conversations. How do demons get dealt with? Let me read you something about what Pat Robertson says. He says, what about the mind control and mind science beliefs? The word psyche is translated soul, from which we derive the word psychic. Most mind science groups deal with the psychic or the soulish phenomena. But where does it say? He has a quote here somewhere about how to deal with it. Oh yeah, there it's in your notes. In the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and simply and quickly. You don't start when you pray for somebody who is really, really, you believe, dealing with demonic activity. You don't start having conversation with the demons. You don't start asking them who they are and why they're there and all of that. When you do this kind of praying, you just bind it in the name of Jesus, command it to go, and done. Okay? Some of you may say, but you have experience of believers being demon-possessed because you've been there when demons have been driven out of believers. What are you going to believe, experiences or scripture? I don't want to hear about your experiences. Show me scripture, okay? Now again, believers can be oppressed. And one of you put 1,000 to flight, two of you put 2,000 to flight. So yes, if you are experiencing sickness, disease, or oppression, or demonization, or torment of any kind, get with somebody. Get with somebody that can pray for you, that can get to know you, that there may be areas in your life that needs to be dealt with. Okay, so I've done with those. Okay, so what about oppression? I said oppressed is this mind and soul area. Obsession, it's like a continuous, you know, oppression in an area of your life as far as your soul and your body. Let's look at pornography. That could be an obsession that continues to attack in one area through compulsion on a soul and a fleshly level. And that can cause a believer to be, yes, there are believers who are bound in pornography. I know that, you know that. How in the world does that happen? Because there's a bondage in a soulish level, okay? And that needs to be dealt with. Mind and soul realm, listen to this, can mimic spiritual possession. There is such a thing as a sick soul. When a soul, I don't want to say things that you're going to quote me out of context. When a soul has been harshly damaged, when a soul has been broken. Your heart's been broken so many times. You have a horrific history. You have on a soul level, on an emotional level, you are weak, but you have Jesus Christ in your life. Okay? On a soul level, it could mimic possession. A Christian can act sometimes like somebody and you think, oh my gosh, is this person even saved? Only God is the judge of that. But it can mimic being demon possessed. So when you deal with a situation, always deal with the salvation first. I want to bring this home to us because our time is just so out. Here here is what I want to end with. We have to be wise. You have to know the scripture. You have to be wise. You have to have the blood of Jesus in your life. And we'll deal with that in a second. The Bible says, now this is as opposed to going and just telling everybody they have demons. Go tell your family they are possessed and want to talk to demons in everybody. No, you are not commanded to do that. The Bible says you be wise. You know what the Bible says. You take those scriptures on the handout and you go study for yourself. You go look what the Bible says. We can never get to all these scriptures. You go see what the Bible says. And the Bible says you are to resist the enemy. Because although you are saved, although you have Jesus in your life, but that scripture that says resist, you have to be careful. That scripture starts like that. It does not say resist the devil and he shall flee. How many of you have resisted and nothing flees? You resist and you fight and you yell and you scream and you can carry on all day long and maybe this demonic oppression won't leave you, because that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says submit to God. Then resist, and then he shall flee. Do you see that you give place to the devil in those areas that are not submitted to God? So instead of going all crazy and thinking, oh, I have demons, go on your knees in fast and pray and say, God, speak with me. What are the areas in my life that are not submitted to you yet? We heard a great message last night about maturity. Some of us are more mature, some of you are new believers. Same thing, we need to grow up in this. We need to know what to do with demonic activity as believers, as blood-washed children of God. You need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you, okay? You have to be in the Word of God, Ephesians 6 says, it talks about fighting. It says, by the washing of the water of the word. Guys, you can go to somebody who, you know, does exorcism or does cast demons out of you, even if you don't are not, engulfed with a demon. But you can have people pray over you as much as you like. Lay hands on you, oil, all the oil in the world of you on you. If you are not going to do what you need to do, you can't get free. Because you have to be saved, first of all. And second of all, you have to be in the Word. Because the Bible says the washing of the water of the Word. It's not an event that's going to cure you. Not always. There are many times that, yes, it does. Somebody's demon-possessed by all means, but I'm talking to you as believers now. It's not about who laid hands on you, how they prayed, and what happened at that event. It is about you standing up awake. Wake up. Take your place in Christ. Submit every area of your life to God. Be in the Word of God so that the Word of God can wash you and resist. Resist. How do you, gosh, guys, if you cannot resist the ice cream in your freezer, don't try to resist demons. But sometimes we believe the demons in the ice cream, right? No. There's a call on some of you this day to fast. Study what the Bible says about fasting and prayer. You have to resist. Like you walk by this fridge and you know the ice cream is talking to you. Just throw the ice cream away. You know what I did one time? My weakness is chips. Buy big bags and never stop eating. One day there's this bag of chips in the house and I ate and I couldn't get. My kids were all there and I'm like, man, I just have to have another chip. It was like halfway through the bag of chips in a day and I just got so upset with myself. I may have told you this. I threw the bag of chips on the floor and I started jumping and stomping it. My kids, they're adult kids, they're like, oh, my mom is now losing it. I don't care. I jumped on it. I destroyed it. I just crushed it and I emptied the bag. Don't put the bag in the trash can. Have you ever fished in a piece of pie out of the trash? If it's just wrapped nicely? No, you never do that. This is how you do. You throw the chips into the trash can so it mixes with the trash or the pie or the whatever. So you can't go back to it. Resist, resist. This is the same thing. Listen, when something comes up in your mind as a believer and say, oh my gosh, I think I have a demon. Take your stand right there, right there, right there, right there. You start speaking and saying, thank you, Lord, that I am saved, sanctified, blood bought. Thank you, Jesus, that you indwell in my heart. And I take authority now in the name of Jesus about over every evil thing that wants to come against me. The word of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I command you, Satan, to take your hands off of me right now. I plead the blood of Jesus over me. I command you to leave, to go, and never to return. Is it about your children? You see some kind of behavior in your children. You want to bribe them with Disneyland. Don't bribe them with Disneyland. Go on your knees and fasting and praying for your kids. You go on your knees and you say, my child is taught of the Lord. No demon and no evil thing shall come over them. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. Go into travail. Go into fasting. Go into prayer, because Satan is after the souls of you and your children and your husbands and your family. And it's time that we wake up and take that authority. Resist the devil, because the Bible says if you submit to God, you resist him, he shall flee. And then fill your life with God. So when that evil thing comes back, and see if there's another gap in your life, that you are so full of the blood of Jesus, so full of the name of Jesus and the scriptures and the word of God, there is no way for him to get back in. That is your defense as a believer. The Bible says you shall overcome by the word of your testimony and by the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the words of your mouth. It is the word of God that, and submission to Jesus Christ and the things of God that will help you to overcome.